Acts, the five public acts of worship that we see in the New Testament, those are prayer, partaking of the communion or the Lord's Supper, singing, the teaching of God's word, and the offering of the contribution. Last Sunday, you may remember that we studied prayer and God's will for us to be in prayer together, to come together, that we should pray to him in the name of his holy servant, Jesus. This Sunday, as was already mentioned, we will look at the communion of the Lord's Supper. It is the commandment that is given to us by Jesus. His holy apostles participated in the communion with their brethren on the first day of the week. They also gave commandment to the churches to do it. And Paul even gave further instructions on the way that it should be done. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus Christ himself, as was mentioned earlier, before his passion, before he gave himself on the cross. It's recorded for us in Matthew 26, Mark 14, verses 22 through 25, Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20, which is what Ben read for us. The correction that's given to the Corinthian church is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'd ask you to turn there with me. Paul has already mentioned this communion, this participation in the Lord's Supper as brethren come together. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" So for 1 Corinthians 10, he speaks to them about this communion which we participate in. We are all engaged in this portion of the worship service together. It is the blessing of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blessing of the body of Christ when we partake of the fruit of the vine and of the unleavened bread on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 17 through 22, Paul, again, now he's correcting this church. We want to keep that in mind as we read the passage that we have here. Paul says, "I do not praise you in these instructions." That is not good. I'm giving you instruction, and I am not praising you. When you come together, he says, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. So imagine what was designed, what was set up, what was instituted by the Lord that we may recall and remember his death when we partake together. Paul says, you have completely left that and you are doing something worse. It's not for the better, it's for the worse. There are divisions among you, Paul points out. Some come in and eat before others because they are hungry. Some of you are drunk and you despise, in your actions, you are despising the church of God. And that sets us into 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, where he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." The Apostle Paul, when this moment in time took place, his name was Saul. He was not in this room. He was not with the apostles when this first took place. Please remember with me that Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, "I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." This tells us that the Apostle Paul was approached and taught by Jesus Christ himself. The resurrected Savior came to Paul and said, "On the night in which I was betrayed, I took bread." And so Paul is now translating, "This is what the Lord told me." Remember Galatians 1. "This was given to me, not by man, but by Jesus Christ himself." So for the correction of the Corinthian church, the instruction came to Paul, and he's laying it down for them. The night he was betrayed, he took bread. Verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Why did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper? He says to us twice now, "When you do this, it is in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So Paul says, this is what you are doing when you partake of the bread and of the fruit of the vine. You are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. This is absolutely important for them to know and to understand. He says to them in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, "When you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Again, correction.
That's why you should be coming together. But when you gather together as a church in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And that's because of the way that you are doing it. Now look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 33. Therefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. He's closing this instruction for them now, and he's saying, I will tell you more when I get to you. But when you come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, wait upon one another. So just think about the communion we partook of this morning and the way that it was done. And the reason that it's done, the order in which it is done, we follow the order that the Lord gave us. He took the bread first, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, eat of this, all of you. That's what we have done this morning. The bread is first, the unleavened bread. Picture of leaven is a picture of sin. The unleavened bread, the unleavened church. It is all directly tied to what Christ implemented on that great and awesome night. The fruit of the vine is offered second. We bless that bread and the fruit of the vine, and we offer it to one another. We partake of it together. We are commanded to wait. I've had many questions come to me since the services were brought together as a 9, 10, 11 o'clock service. Why do you only serve the Lord's Supper at the 11 o'clock service? And when that question is asked of me, I say, here are the names of our elders. But I can tell you this, we are to wait upon one another. Not all of us are here at 9 a.m. Not all of us are able to make it for all three services. We have those who have physical needs. And so if it was for that reason alone, it would be a solid foundational reason that we are waiting for the brethren to gather in full capacity. It is not our desire that we be broken up from the 9, 10, and 11, but it is a reality. And so are we not waiting to serve it at the last time that we are still here together as the Lord's church? That would be a reason I think is worth having a conversation over. We have thorough instructions from the Apostle Paul on how to partake of the Lord's Supper. The question is, when you look at 1 Corinthians 11, when should we do it? When is it to be done? Because all he says is, as often as you partake of this bread and drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of the Lord's death. As often as you come together. So when should we do it? That is a legitimate question. We know, brothers and sisters, from 1 Corinthians, same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, that they were coming together for worship on the first day of the week. We know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches in Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper. It was understood by all of the churches. Take note that he says, as I've instructed churches in Galatia, so you must do also. His gospel is always the same, whether to Jew or to Gentile, whether to Corinth or to the churches in Galatia. This is how it is to be done. I've already given instruction to the churches in Galatia. You do this also. When you gather together on the first day of the week, offer the contribution. Lay aside something to be stored up for saints who are in need. So we know from the letter to the Corinthians that they understood they were to gather together on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday. In Acts chapter 20, if you'll turn there with me, we'll look at it together and consider the first day of the week, the partaking of the communion as the saints are gathered together. Acts chapter 20, we know that Paul here is meeting with the disciples in Troas, and he is meeting with them on the first day of the week. Look at Acts 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now it depends on which translation you are reading. This breaking of bread is a direct application to partaking of the Lord's Supper. There are some translations, again, depending on what you're reading, some translations call this breaking of the bread the Eucharist, which points to this body of Christ, the partaking of the body of Christ. We don't have to go there, but I am mentioning it because later in this chapter we'll see these same disciples broke bread again. But I would argue that it is no longer the first day of the week. It's Monday. And they are breaking bread to Paul. They are feeding him because he's about to depart in his travels. This is distinct. It is different. The disciples came together for the purpose of breaking bread on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 6, we're told that Paul was in Troas for 7 full days. That is very important to this discussion. We know they were there until Sunday because of what we read in verse 7. They gathered on the first day of the week. He has gathered with them on Sunday and he is ready to depart, as we read it. As you move along through chapter 20, you can see that Paul and his companions are moving quickly as they are traveling back to Jerusalem. Each day, as Luke records this letter, he tells us that they stayed in a new place as they were heading for Jerusalem. Each day, he says, the next day we stayed here. The next day we were here. The next day we were here. And as you move through Acts chapter 20, you'll see with me in verse 16, watch what it says here. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Paul is moving quickly and he is not wasting time. He's trying to get back to Jerusalem, as we're told in Acts chapter 20 and verse 16. So notice with me, the disciples met in Troas and waited 7 days. We know they were there the entire day of Sunday because he preached until midnight. That is the 7th day that they stayed in Troas. He departed on Monday. So this tells us that they arrived in Troas on a Monday, and they waited 7 full days to gather to meet with the saints in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. And in this is our answer. When do we partake? When we come together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What's the right day? What's the right time? The first day of the week. Because we see the disciples in Acts 20 and verse 7 waiting in a town for multiple days so that they can gather and break bread together as the disciples were commanded to do. We know too in Acts 20 that Paul will call for the Ephesian elders. Remember, he's traveling. He does not want to go into Asia because he knows he's going to get bound up and can't keep going. So he calls for the elders to meet him in Miletus. And they meet him there. He talks to them briefly and they continue to press on to Jerusalem. Look at John 20 with me, just for one final note concerning the Lord's Supper and when it should be partaken of. John chapter 20, verse 19 is our verse, but I would like to say to you that in John 20 and verse 1, as this chapter begins, it says, "Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." First day of the week, Mary is on her way. She has spices with her. She wants to treat the body of Jesus. We know the story. The stone is rolled away. The angels say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here." And she is told that he is risen from the dead on the first day of the week. Revelation chapter 1, John tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Also, that is the first day of the week. The Lord's day. The day that he was raised is the Lord's day. We're gathered on the first day of the week on that very same Lord's day. So John 20 and verse 19. Well, watch this with me. Jesus is going to appear to his disciples as they are gathered together. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, still the same day, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." What a marvelous moment. They have received word that Christ is raised from the dead, but they themselves, other than the evidence of the tomb, have not seen him. It is evening. It is still the first day of the week, and they are fearful of the Jews and what's going to happen to them. And in a moment, as they are there together, afraid, Jesus appears. He doesn't knock on the door. He's standing there. And what does he say to them? "Shalom. Peace, my brethren." What a moment. They are looking at him now because he just told them to have peace. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Can I share with you that the New Testament church will not begin for another 50 days. The day of Pentecost is the day when the first gospel sermon is preached. There are those who will give themselves over to Christ in submission to Him as Lord and Savior. And the church begins in Acts chapter 2. Not now. He's risen, but it's not time for the church to begin its marvelous work. But in saying that, can I share with you that when Jesus came to them, what did He show them? How did they spend their time together on the first day of the week? He said, look, men, look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. The Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Jesus reveals the way that He died to them. We should keep these things in our minds and impressed upon our hearts when we gather to partake of the Lord's Supper. This is important to Him. The first day of the week after His resurrection, the day of His resurrection, the Lord's Day, He comes to them and He says, this is what I want you to be thinking about. My hands and my feet. What a beautiful picture. It is argued by some that we know we're supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. It is kind of an inconvenience. It takes time away from the preacher, for example. So why don't we just do it once a month on the first day of the week? We need to know the answer to that. Do you? We do not do it once a month on the first day of the week. We don't do it once a year on the first day of the week. We do it on the first day of the week. Which one? All of them. We understand that, don't we? It's interesting that people want to argue about that. We understand that. It's the first day of the week. So how often? On the first day of the week. Next question. If you go to work somewhere and you take the job, let's say they've taken you and you're going to begin working and you say, hey, can I ask a question real quick before I get started? Sure, what do you got? When do we get paid? And the boss says, you get paid on Friday. So you work through the week and you show up on Friday to get your check and they say, oh, you misunderstood. It's every fourth Friday. It doesn't work that way, does it? If you're paid on Friday, then you get paid on Friday. It's simple when we put it in earthly terms, and yet when we talk about the Lord's Supper, there are those in this world that say, that's too often. We get used to it. We get lulled to sleep. It's mundane. It becomes a common thing because we do it every Sunday. To that I would reply, how dare you? Everything is tied to a week. Everything from creation is tied to the physical 7-day week. The first day of the week, the disciples gather together with great purpose to partake of the Lord's body together. It is communion, which we bless in prayer. We are engaged together in that communion, and we look upon His hands and we look upon His feet in our own mind's eye. It is very personal. It is very real. He died on that cross. We are here today to testify to that truth. Our Lord and our Savior died on that cross because without Him, I'm going to hell. Is it too much? Is it common? Is it mundane? That's up to you. That's up to you. But we are commanded to gather as disciples of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week to partake of His body and of His blood, which is the very thing, the very element that washes our sins from our souls. There may be someone in our number this morning who needs to respond to the gospel, who wants to be a part of this great work, to gather with the saints who love the Lord, who partake of His body and of His blood together to testify of His death and to remember His death. Until when? What does Paul tell us? We gather together on the first day of the week to partake of the body and of the blood until He comes again. He is coming. And if you're not a part of that body which He has given His life for, you are separated from God. That can be changed today by your decision. We ask you, we beg you, if you need to come forward and have your sins washed, do it now. Because when He comes, it'll either be salvation for those who obeyed, or it will be everlastingly too late. Come forward while together we stand and sing.